Amen. Thanks, Zoe. How are we all doing? Are we all good? Good to see you. Like Zoe said, my name's Thomas. I have the absolute privilege of being the pastor here in Journey Down Patrick. I also get the even greater privilege of working with an incredible group of elders and leadership team around this place that make all things in the life of Journey happen. So whether this is your first Sunday or not, I want to say you're especially welcome. If you are looking at a home church, I'm unashamedly going to say this will be a fantastic one for you. There's a great group of people in this room who are real, do life together, and God's moving in Downpatrick. God's moving in this place, and I know for many people they've prayed for Life-Giving Church, and I believe we are Life-Giving Church. We're not perfect. If you find a perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. That was a joke, by the way. And I just really believe if you're looking for a church, then you're more than welcome to come here, which is great. Like I say, we're a great church, but we also have a church in Antrim and we have a church in Bangor. And, you know, really we wouldn't be here without the prayers and the faithfulness of others who we don't get to see in, week out. And this morning is a wee bit of a bittersweet morning because our very own Australian, that was also a good accent, like, come on. Bex, who was leading keys, this is her last Sunday with us. She will be still around in the country until the 21st of September. So, Bex, why don't you come up here? Why don't you welcome Bex up? We just put out a wee email this week. Bex is heading back to Australia. You can chat to her afterwards about all the things you're going to go do. She's going there on the 21st. And Bex, we just want to... Zoe's got a bunch of flowers for you. The guys in the church just have... club together just to bless you because we appreciate you coming down this past year and also just serving in the Journey family over the past couple of years. So you've been a missionary at heart, you've been traveling around the world, you're eventually heading back to your homeland, your native land. But Bex is transitioning but also is going to have to sort of start from scratch in some senses again, so heading to Melbourne and start over, so doing a new job there. And I don't know if anybody's travelled and moved across the world and then moved back again, but it's not an easy feat. So we just want to pray for you, Bex, just as there be the grace of God, the favour of God. Maybe you'll find a man there, I don't know. We'll pray for that too. We joked that Bex came to Northern Ireland, didn't find a man, so he's heading back to Australia. That's another joke we like to keep around here. But why don't you extend the hand? We're just going to pray for Bex just as God sees her off in what she has next. Yeah, Father, we just thank you for Bex. Lord, we just thank you for her obedience. She heard your voice, she picked up her mat, travelled across the world to not only America but to Northern Ireland and faithfully sowed and faithfully served without complaint and question but just came and wanted to be part of what you were doing and what you are doing. So God, we just pray a blessing upon her. We pray that your grace would come upon her in this transition, that it would be a smooth transition. God, as she in some ways grieves the friendships that she's made here, that Lord, she would carry them in her heart and that she would just be a stopping place in Australia for a lot of us guys here. So God, we just pray that as she transitions, you would be grace upon cars, accommodation, finances and friends, God, and just that would be an easy change for her and that you would bless her family who get to see her a wee bit closer. We bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Say cheerio to her. Again, like I said, she's in the country till 21st. I think she's four shifts left in the Ulster. So if you know anybody who's due to have a baby or having a baby, then I'm sure she will help deliver. She was a great help for us and a few of the guys around here were having babies as well. So she did kick me out, actually, at about 12 o'clock at night as I tried to overstay my welcome. So in the Ulster maternity. So she's professional. She shows no partiality, which is great. Zoe mentioned a couple of things, announcements. I'm not going to go over them, but we are doing a week of prayer and fasting. And, you know, it's not always one of those ones that do cause sacrifice. But I read this quote. This is not what I'm preaching on, but I just felt like to share it. This is from Leonard Ravenhill, if anybody remembers him. He says this: quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting and start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel, start travail. And we are in a season where, I don't know about you, but I'm not always content with just the spiritual climate that we're in. Regardless of some of the great stories and testimonies that are coming in, we need revival, we need God, we need move of God in this land, in our community, and I know in our lives. So it does sacrifice. I know some of you live a wee bit further away, but 7 a.m., 7 p.m., we're going to seek God. We don't come to church for the guys on worship to lead us into the presence of God. We get to live as people who walk in the presence of God. So you know, to see our walk with Jesus, walk with any power, we need to sit with him, and prayer and fasting does that. So I want to encourage you, like we said, we give you the dates out in advance. Please make time, make space. I would say no excuses, whether you do it with us in person or at home, because ultimately, God, there's an open heaven over us in our lives, and I'm not content with where we're at. And the team, we want to see a move of God in this place. That's not what I want to talk about. I just felt like I'd just come off the back of that. But I want to speak a bit around just what, you know, the seasons are changing, and, you know, summer's clearly over. Although September time gives us a wee bit of a flurry, to be fair. And I don't know, sometimes in the natural, there's seasons changing, but I know for a lot of us in our lives, spiritually and emotionally, we can go through different seasons, whatever language you want to look at, stages of life, whatever it may be. Some we liken to the summer season, some we liken to the winter. And I want to talk a bit about what does it look like when to do life when God seems like he's on mute, when we're walking through unanswered prayer, when we're walking through those seasons that we might feel a wee bit like winter. And I want to share this quick story. It was a Sunday evening in 2014, and we had a room packed full of young people who were hungry to know more about Jesus, to bring all their questions to him. We hosted a panel at the end of the night, and we opened it up to the crowd, and we said, look, what questions have you got? What's burning in your heart that you want to get some answers to? And I can remember distinctively, out of the crowd, a young 11-year-old girl popped up with this question, and she said, if God was good, why didn't he answer my prayer to heal my granny before she passed away with cancer? And I remember that question like it was yesterday, and I also remember my response and my youthful naivety, and it really was, I answered the question wrongly by saying, you know, we live in a broken and fallen world filled with sickness and disease and unanswered prayer, but God didn't take your granny, he just received her. Now, I didn't know my Bible as much as I do now, knowing that God is the giver, the author of life, and also the taker of life as well. And my answer, if I'm being honest, was in some ways trying to soften the pain that she was experiencing. It was in some ways a bit of a misinterpretation as a way to go, hey, look, God's not the bad guy in this story, that actually I know there's tragedy and pain in your life, but I answered it in a way that didn't really give justice to the kingdom and the economy of God. And why do I say that? Because, well, most of us in the room, we found ourselves asking those similar types of questions. Maybe you're here in a season and you're asking a similar type of question where you've prayed for a loved one who've never seen the healing this side of eternity. Maybe you currently are contending for God to move in your own body. Or in fact, maybe you're asking God to intervene during the current battle that you're currently facing. But he hasn't moved in the way that he's hoped. He hasn't came in the timing that he's came and we hoped for. And so in some senses, it feels like God is on mute in our lives. It's like God is distant and removed. And in fact, Psalm 13 puts it well, and maybe you feel like this too. It's like, how long, Lord? Anybody ever said that? How long, Lord? Will you forget about me forever? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts day after day with sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? It's in those intense seasons, if we get honest, where we're wrestling with the difficult questions, we're wrestling with the unanswered prayer, we're nursing disappointment. But it's in those seasons, we must know this, that it cannot be because God does not love us. It cannot be because God does not love you. Otherwise, Jesus would not have got down from his throne and got involved in our story. In fact, he wouldn't be God incarnate. He wouldn't be the Word made flesh. He wouldn't be Emmanuel, God with us. Because we know that Jesus is the God who died for us and the God who lives in us. So when we're walking through those seasons of unanswered prayer and mystery, we sang about it. I'll raise an alleluia in the midst of the storm. I'll raise an alleluia in the mystery. See, God takes our pain and our suffering so seriously that he was willing to take it upon himself. So when we're in those seasons, it cannot be because he doesn't love us, when he doesn't move in the way we hope, when he doesn't answer the prayer. We cannot be tempted to think that God is punishing us or that God is angry at us. How can I say that with confidence? Because the wrath of God for a sinful world was poured out on Jesus, meaning the season of barrenness, bitterness, and wilderness is not because God's punishing you, because that was settled 2,000 years ago. So the second thing is that it cannot be because God is indifferent to our needs and our circumstances. As if God somehow is turning a blind eye to what's going on. Anybody ever felt like, God, do you see me? How long, God, will I be overlooked in the situations that I'm in? It cannot be because he does not care about what we're going through. Luke 4 says that I came to bring good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, to bind up the brokenhearted, and sight to the blind. Our God is a God who sees us, and our God is absolutely a God who cares about what we're going through. And what will happen is we will see reactions to wars in the Middle East, to what's going on in across the world, where the atheists will come along and say, if God was a good God, why does he not intervene? He does not care. But God is the God who came and broke into our very heartaches, our situations, and our needs that a sinful and broken world actually produces. It's the reason he came. So he is not indifferent to what we're going through. He does not turn a blind eye. You see, the sicknesses that we walk through, the hardships that we endure, and the justices that we happen all around are the very things that Jesus came for. The very things that he sees and goes after. And Isaiah 59 puts it really well in the nature of God. It says, all of this the Lord saw, and listen, it displeased him that there was no justice. God looks at the situations that we are in, the struggles, the pains, the wilderness, the winter seasons, and he is displeased. He is not satisfied. In other words, that is not the end product of your life that God has for you. So we cannot say that the season that we're in is a result of God not loving us or that he's indifferent. But unanswered prayer cannot be because he turns a blind eye. Scripture encourages us that it's simply not the case. Now, I say all of that, offering a bit of hope, but it does not answer why God still allows us to go through seasons of unanswered prayer and nurse disappointment. And if you're honest, if we get honest with ourselves, sometimes the lie from the enemy comes in. If God was powerful enough to intervene, then he cannot be good or willing enough to do so. Or if he's good enough and willing to do so, then he's therefore not capable. He's capable of breaking into anybody else's situation. I'll have faith that he will come and move in somebody else's life and situation, but he's not capable for mine, as if somehow we put up a barrier to the goodness and the grace of God. The atheist philosopher J.L. Mackey says, if a good and powerful God exists, then he wouldn't allow, listen, pointless evil and pointless suffering. But because there is a lot of pointless evil and pointless suffering, a good and powerful God therefore doesn't exist. But you know the problem? Is you and I know that our God is both able and both good. We know that this statement assumes that everything we're going through is pointless. That our pain, that our suffering is meaningless. And the worldview that Christianity gives us a hope that knows that everything we go through is with meaning and purpose. And just because we cannot see in the times where we cried out for God to answer a prayer and he hadn't moved, or that he hasn't come in the way that we hoped, just because we can't see a reason doesn't mean that one doesn't exist. You see, our faith in Christ means that all of our temporary pain and struggle, like I said, is not without meaning. We do not have to take on the hopeless, nihilistic worldview that says everything in this life happens is pointless and meaningless. So we therefore, from dust we came, to dirt we may go. You see, like Paul, who saw revivals and saw miracles, I mean, the life that Paul lived, he saw the signs and the wonders that many of us long to see in our lives. But yet he said this in Romans 8:18. He said, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us in the life to come. In other words, we may not see the reasoning now, but we will see it in the life to come. We can see it when he chooses to reveal it. And as I talk about this, my mind can't help but go to the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. We see the life of Joseph. Now, he was a bit of an arrogant young man. He was hated by his brothers. He was sold into a life of slavery and a life of misery. But what's interesting is this. Joseph prayed out to God that he would help him escape before he went into slavery. And it appeared that God didn't answer his prayer. And after being sold into slavery, experiencing years of bondage and misery, we see Joseph's life, Joseph's character being refined and strengthened throughout those years. He was eventually raised up, listen, to be a prime minister of Egypt, who went on to save thousands of lives and even his own brothers from starvation. You see, you might be here and you might feel like a Joseph. You might have had seasons in your life where you feel like a Joseph, where you've cried out to God. And I'm not just talking about God, save me from, you know, this parking ticket, or save me from something very trivial, although a lot of us do pray for those things. I'm talking about the heart cries, the cries that you've done in your room and no one has seen, the cries that you, in your depths, I'm talking about those moments. Like Joseph, when we cried out and God hasn't seemingly answered. Yet for Joseph, his apparent unanswered prayer saw him to be used as God's agent for social justice and change, not only in his own life, but throughout a whole nation. You see, just because we don't see a reason for our unanswered prayer yet, doesn't mean that in the economy of God, he is not working all things for our good. I mean, it wouldn't be faith if we didn't have to believe that. It's easy to have faith when we are in the good seasons. I mean, who here had it to, you know, have faith when you're sitting in the Northern Ireland sunshine on a hammock out in your back garden going, this is, life's great. I know you're laughing, but wait till you have to start putting the heating back on and all of a sudden you have to go, how am I going to pay for inflation bills and all sorts? You see, it's in the winter seasons where our faith is needed to be extracted more. Now, the funny thing is, nobody welcomes the winter seasons. And if you welcome the winter seasons, you're probably a bit of a crazy person. You see, although we would never welcome the struggles and the pain in our lives, what's really interesting is in hindsight, we would actually never trade the insight, the strength, the character development that we got as a result. I mean, you talk to anybody who's went through a chronic illness and maybe come out the other side and they go, well, I would have never traded that for the world. Maybe you're here and you've had a really difficult experience in work, in your family life, with your spouse or family, and it was relational conflict, and it was hard. And then on the other side, you would never change it for the world in hindsight because of what you experienced and gained as a result. Because it's often as a result of walking through illness that our faith in Christ is strengthened and deepened. It's often out of our most painful experiences and testing times that success comes from. Yet, the world maintains this. It cannot allow God to be off the hook for allowing evil and suffering, yet they do not acknowledge that God himself came down and put himself on the hook for our sin and suffering. You see, it's very easy to say, God, I can't let you off the hook for how you are not moving in this way. Yet on the other hand, we forget that he came down from his eternal glory, sinless and without accusation, and put himself on the hook for you and me. He experienced death through a cross, which is just even more intense than our human suffering. Anything that we experience. You see, our disappointments, our unanswered prayers, evil itself, it doesn't mean that God isn't good, but I believe it highlights our ultimate need for a good God. If anybody knows the Scottish 16th century pastor and theologian, you know, he had lost his family, he had outlived his 11 children, he was banished from the church that he was preaching at. He was jailed in Aberdeen. Through all of this, he looks out his window on a cold December morning and he says, I see the grace grows better, the best in winter. I see grace groweth best. in winter. Now, I am not a horticulture person, all right? Definitely not. I know there's a few people who work in landscaping. And apparently, one of the best times you can ever plant a young tree is just before the winter. Because if you plant it in the summertime, it's going to expend all of its energy to produce leaves and look good. But it's actually in the winter seasons that it's able to divert all of its energy into its root system. To grow down roots deep in within the soil that it's planted. So that when the seasons of needing to produce fruit and leaves, they actually are able to do so. See, sometimes it's just a matter of perspective that when we're asking the wrong questions. God, why are you allowing this to happen? Instead of going, God, how am I supposed to be diverting my energy in this season? We always ask it. We put God on the hook saying, God, we put you at the mercy of my questions and my understanding, saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen? When we do live within a mystery and a paradox in the Christian life, instead of asking God, how am I supposed to be directing my energy and attention? So many Christians have God on the hook instead of having themselves in their knees on prayer, opening the word and asking God, what are you doing in this season? How should I be directing my time and attention? That instead of keeping God on the hook and leaving him off on the shelf and watching Netflix and I'm getting distracted in entertainment, that instead we come in and go in through prayer and through fasting, that we enter into a season of God, I know this is difficult, I know this is hard, but how do you want to direct my attention in this season? Because if you are in a winter season or if you enter into a winter season, and these are the seasons where you feel stripped back. These are the seasons where you feel like you're not producing any fruit at all. And in fact, anything you seem to touch rots and falls to the ground. But remember, it is God and his mercy in the mystery of we do not know why that he is directing your energy into becoming rooted and dependent on him. So that in due season, you would have the strength to carry the prayer that you're asking to be fulfilled. You would have the character that reflects Christ to a broken and a lost world. That you would have the maturity to handle the difficulty that comes with increase in favor. We always want the favor. We always want the blessing. But God cares too much about you being able to steward favor and blessing that he wants to develop the maturity within you in order to sustain it. Joseph could not have imagined the favor and the blessing that God was going to bring in his plans and his purposes. But yet, God had a way and a plan to make it happen. God's plan for your life, for my life, is to prosper you, to not to harm you, that you would have a hope and a future. And can be, to be honest, that verse, Jeremiah 29:11, is so hard to believe in a winter season. We believe it in the summer seasons. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, that you may have a hope and a future, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you. We believe those in the easy seasons. But it's in the winter seasons when those promises need to be held on even more. So we cannot think that the winter season is a time where God is punishing you, that he's distant and turning a blind eye, but there is a gift that is available to us. There is an opportunity available to us where we have access to the grace of God that we wouldn't in any other season. Where we can become dependent on God that would not be needed in any other season. But oftentimes we don't want to admit that we're in a winter season. How do we know we do that? When somebody asks you, how are you? I'm fine. You know that's a Northern Irish catchphrase. It's not what about you, that's us now, we buns. It's not that, it's I'm fine. It's a universal like just thing we say. And oftentimes it's hard to admit that we're in a winter season because it actually feels like a sign of a lack of faith. That if we're in a winter season, I therefore don't have enough faith. Or if I'm in a winter season, I therefore must be getting punished by God, like I said. Or we want to avoid admitting we're in a winter season because we want to look like we have it all together. But there's a really interesting contrast in Luke 18. And it's this, it's when Jesus tells a parable of, I hadn't read this in a while, but it was really interesting. When two men went to the temple to pray, one was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed the prayer, I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, the cheaters, the sinners, the adulterers of this world. I am certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector, he stood off in the distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful on me. I am a sinner. Jesus responds and says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You know what's really interesting? Is the one who left the prayer meeting, went home looking like a mess and feeling like a failure, that was the one who God heard. So anytime you're at a prayer meeting and you feel like a mess and you leave home a failure, God's heard you. As long as you pray honestly. You see, what's really interesting is God is nowhere near interested in you having it all together, because he sees us, we don't have it all together. Okay? And if we're here and we think we have it all together, we probably definitely don't have it all together. You see, God's not interested in that, but he is attracted to our humility and our honesty before him. It's like humility and honesty are magnets to the presence of God. And it doesn't feel like in our culture, and even how in our Christian culture tells us, is, you know, we have to have it all together. That's what then brings heaven to earth. Like, I don't know where we, how we arrive to that conclusion, only through sin. But if you're in a winter season, I want you to understand something. God can handle your honesty. Trust me, he can handle your honesty. He isn't afraid of it. You might be afraid of your honesty. Your spouse might be afraid of your honesty. Whatever it may be. But I can tell you this. God is not fazed by your honesty. Because in fact, he sees more what's going on in you than we see within ourselves. And in fact, he's inviting us to that place as he shows in terms of what he values, that we come to him in a place of honesty. I mean, just have to look at the life of Job. Or the book of Jobs. Anybody know the book of Jobs? The book of Job, I mean, Job complained to God. I don't know how many times. In fact, I tried to Google how many times Job complained to God. And it just said there wasn't that a numerical amount of times. It was just the state that he was in. He was in a state of complaining before God. He was complaining about the sufferings that he endured, the things that he lost. He was complaining about the injustice that he saw all around him, how bad things had happened to good God's people and why bad people were prospering, all these injustices. So much so that Job had wished that he was never born. It's in the winter seasons that sometimes we go, I wish I was never born. I wish I was never in this season. I wish. But you have to understand, at the end of the day, Job got to a place where he says, God gives and God takes away. Still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But you know what's really interesting? Job and his honesty, how he complained. God at the end of the book says to Job's friends, hey, you better get Job to pray for you. I mean, that's really interesting. Job the complainer got to a place of surrender. God says, I've got an honest one, like the tax collector. He says, hey, I want to get your friends, you friends, I want you to get Job to pray for you. So at the end of this session, when we have prayer ministry, we want all the complainers to come and pray for me, okay? What's the point? Whatever season you find yourself in, God hears you, God cares for you, and God wants to use you. So see this plastic, fantastic, have it all together, faithful Christian that we think we have to project to be. That's not what God's interested in. It's your humility and your honesty. Why don't the band come back up? Maybe you're here, and I don't have time to go into a lot of other things, but maybe you're in the midst of nursing disappointment and walking out unanswered prayer. And like I said, it's not a sign that God doesn't love you and that he's indifferent to our needs. We just don't know why God allows the things he allows. It's a mystery. It is a mystery. You know, we can talk about character development, whatever it may be, but that's where we have to get to a place where we go, your ways are higher than my ways. But I can tell you this, it's not because he doesn't love you, because he's angry and he's pouring out his wrath on you. It's not because you have a lack of faith and on your unbelief. But maybe God has a plan and a purpose. See, the way to keep our faith flourishing isn't to pretend that what we're going through is easy. That's not what God is asking you to do. He's not asking you to minimize your pain, your situations, and your circumstances. It isn't to also pretend that it isn't happening, but it's to draw upon a grace that is available to us that sustains us. Unanswered prayer isn't a lack of unbelief. Disappointment isn't a lack of faith, but it reminds us that in this life, that we live in this tension of the now and the not yet. What do I mean by the now and the not yet? When we don't know why God has allowed disease to bring a child to an early grave, and we've had to walk through that, but we know that all will make sense on the other side of eternity. That when there's pain and there's suffering, there isn't a response that we give to people besides our love and our time and our presence. That we cannot see a current reason to why our hardship is continuing. That we do hold on and know that He is working it all for our good. That we're culture, we're the atheist, we're the enemy is trying to say, if God was a good God, and when they don't let Him off the hook, we have to understand God put Himself on the hook so that we could walk free. And that these present troubles and these present circumstances will not compare to the glory that we will find ourselves in. We must continue to believe for God to heal the sick, to meet our needs. And we pray for each other. That's what we do. There is an opportunity that as Christians that we have on this earth that we will not have on the other side of eternity. And that is to pray for people to see breakthrough in prayer when we're walking through our own unanswered prayer. I mean, that right there is when the grace of God, I mean, I'm half deaf in one ear, so if you stand at this side, I'm likely not going to hear you. And yet I will pray for people's ears to be opened. I will pray that people's eyes will be opened. I will pray that salvation will come. I have members in my own family who do not know Jesus yet, but yet God uses me to pray for people and they give their lives to Jesus. And I still contend for their salvation. Situations and circumstances are like that all across the room. We have to still believe that God is still a good God and that we pray for answer to prayer even when we're nursing our own unanswered prayer. That we don't hold God captive to our understanding, but yet, like Zoe read, that He is far beyond what we can understand. Imagine what we can think and what we can ask, that we then lift our eyes to Him and not to our situation and our circumstances. I believe that's where we're going to see the kingdom of God continue to move. We want God in times of revival and times of refreshing, but also there is a grace that's available when we're in a winter season, nothing looks like it's in bloom, but yet He says, where are you going to direct your energy in this next season? I don't know what all of us are going to experience in this next season. I only know some of what we're nursing in this current moment, but I will say this, that God, with God, there is hope. With God, there is breakthrough, whatever that might look like. And why don't you stand? Because as a community, we are to stand with one another. We are to pray for each other. We are to walk in mystery. And if you're here this morning, and anything I've said in terms of you need breakthrough physically, healing, you need breakthrough in terms of you feel like you're in a sea, it doesn't matter what it is. But if you're here and you just would like people to pray for you, I'd like you to raise your hand. I'd like you to say, do you know what, it's a hard season, and this isn't a lack of sign of faith, by the way, but we all have it. And if you're hearing it going, I see some hands, and just like, I just want people to stand and pray as we go into worship. Again, people at the back of the room. And I just want us to go into a place where we go, do you know, God is still a good God, even if my situation doesn't appear like it. And so, Father, this morning, I thank You that You are still on Your throne. Father, I thank You that You are who You say You are. And God, as we walk through the mystery, as we walk through the unknown, the unanswered to prayer, God, whatever it may be, God, I just pray that we would lift our eyes to You. Would there be a grace in this season to be rooted deep within You? Would there be a grace within this season to know You deeper, to be dependent on You in ways that we could never be dependent? And God, right now, if you put your hand up, keep it up, just the people look around left and right, just pray for the people next to you. Father, this morning I just pray for people all across the room. that whether we're in a winter season or we will enter one, we know that our faith will not be shaken because we are grounded and rooted in you. That when the storms come, when the wind come, we will not be shaken because our houses are built on you. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you in this place.